Good morning. Good to see you. Long time we didn't see you. Welcome, Nick, Kristen, and your families. Glad to see you here with the kids. Ruth, how are you doing today? Great, great. Glad to have you here too. And all of you who join us, Dave, I'm really happy to see you today. January 4, you know, you just crossed the new year. And I just want to share something that I experienced and just feel, as always, free to disagree with me. But in my mind, I think that when you start a new year, it's kind of like crossing over, like a new period, like changing the pace in your book. And you would probably say, Pastor, you know, Wednesday is just new year. And today is Saturday. It's 3 days. What is the difference between Wednesday and Tuesday? You know, I don't know how to explain this, but it's kind of like in my mind, I was ready to close 2019. That chapter in my life. Thank you, God, and alive, and I had all my family, but I'm ready to move on to start a new year. So you have noticed, if you go to stores that like Costco, Sam's, what they are promoting right now? If you go to any store right now, what the main thing that they are promoting, what they are promoting in Lowe's right now? Nothing? But before Valentine's, they offered you a lot of exercise equipment and protein shakes and diets in here. Why is that? Right, so we indulge a little bit too much in food, right? And maybe we get like a few extra pounds. Nobody noticed that. If we stand this side, people will notice. So they want to lose weight. And, you know, people want to lose weight. Like Gabriela was mentioned, you are setting goals in your mind. And I hope that God help you to set the right goals in your mind. By the way, I just want to make an emphasis in this event. We need to get together and try to promote it, the final event. It's only 4 days. It's a simple presentation at nighttime, follow up by Bible study. But it can do a good impact in our community. And how many of you enjoy the video? You watch the video? Sounds like a movie, right? In a world without hope. Final Empire. Like, oh yeah, I miss it. I was getting chills at the moment when they were talking like that, right? So what is the title for the sermon today? Come on, guys. I put a lot of thought into that. You should at least read the title. Well, yeah. So what do you think about the title? It's a title for a new year, right? It's very energetic. I just borrow it from a company called Garmin. That's Garmin's motto, a catchy phrase. You know, that all companies had a catchy phrase, right? So what is McDonald's, for instance, catchy phrase? No, it's I loving it. Right? What company or what entity used the sky is the limit? Come on, Kenneth. You should know these ones. The sky's the limit. I don't know if Delta, but I'm pretty sure it's the Air Force. Sky's the limit. Like, that sounds amazing. Anyhow, okay. Different companies I was checking. And why do you think that companies do that? Why companies use these catchy phrases? Get your attention is something that they want to promote among their corporate entity, their values, right? Pastor, we are not a corporation. Yes, but we are a group of people, and we should have a motto too, right? A catchy phrase. What company used, for instance, diamonds are forever? Gary, right? Okay, are diamonds forever? What do you think? Let me do some reading here and see if you can help me. What company say, just do it? Nike. Right, that's just very well known. That was very famous, actually. Think different. Oh, it's Apple's, actually. You are very close. Apple. I just said, oh, that's an interesting motto right there. This one is probably easy. Chase time and chase money. Shaving and shave money is a dollar shaving club, you know, like the little things for your face. What company uses this motto? Because you are worth it. Because you are worth it. L'Oreal. Yeah, very good. Some of you are following this. Got Milk? You remember that one? Yeah, very famous one. There are some things money can buy. For everything else, there is MasterCard. Very good. So, researching all these different mottos for this new year, JB, what is the motto for your company? Oh, he wasn't paying attention. What is the motto for your company, sir? Your company. What is the slogan? What is the catchy phrase?
Nobody's business.
Nobody's business. Yeah, that's a good slogan right there. So I'm pretty sure you get a lot of customers right there. What if we select a slogan for the company, for the church? What will be your slogan? I was thinking about that.
There's only one God.
Oh, that one is catchy. I like that one. It's only one God. What else? I was thinking in the church on fire. What about that? Everything is fine until you get a member with an extinguisher, right? Like, here is a fountain of joy. Let me put some damp in your motto. And then, kind of like JP's slogan, right? Go down in flames. Doesn't catch many people. The reason for these ideas is to promote enthusiasm, energy, desire to do things, right? And so that's what I want to talk to you today. Since we are starting 2020, we should start a new chapter in our church history. This chapter in the Old Testament happened to be well known. And somebody that probably you know advised us to do some reading and studying in this specific chapter. So please, if you are so kind, can you open your Bibles in the book of Joshua, chapter 4? We want to do a study here in Joshua, chapter 4. Yes, Ellen G. White advised us to do some reading in these chapters of the Old Testament because some of the lessons there are important for you and to me, right? So what are the story about? Do you have your Bible open ready? Chapter 4? We ready? Amen? Right. Chapter, verse 1. It says this. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourself 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, you should carry them over with you and leave them in a lodging place where you should lodge tonight. Then Joshua called 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and each of you take a stone on his shoulder according to the number of his tribes of the children of Israel, what this may be a sign for you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Let me stop for a moment here. So I want you to picture the people of Israel going through this amazing event. They are crossing now Jordan, and the river is overflowed. And I don't know if you notice when it's rainy or in some places where you have a lot of winter, what happened at the springs? The rivers kind of like overflowed. And they are very dangerous because they have a strong current and it's basically impossible to cross over there unless you have a bridge. And they didn't have a bridge. This is a group of people that they are coming through the desert. Now they are going from the east, from the west, and they need to cross over the Jordan. And after they cross the big river, the first city that they will encounter is Jericho, right? And you know the story of Jericho. But before we get into the story of Jericho, they are about to cross the big river and they are confronted with a challenge. How we will do this? Because we had the energy, we had the desire, but it's a challenge. It's an obstacle right there that is impeding us to go over. So what God's instructions are in chapter 3, do you remember? He tells Joshua, tell the priest to carry the ark over the river. Remember that? And the moment that the priest put a feet on the water, what happened with the water? It stopped flowing, right? I guess in one side it stopped flowing, and in the other side it's like they had a big dam or wall in there holding all the water back, right? So after the priest entered the river, the whole thing is dry. So you can see in one side the riverbed and the rocks and everything, some fish maybe, you know, jumping in there alive. And in the other side, you see this amazing wall of water that is growing by the minute, right? Because the river flow doesn't stop. So the water continue coming, and then you see the water piling up, correct? And this is how I imagine the whole miracle. So you can imagine it in a different ways. Maybe you will think that the whole water stopped, and I don't know how you do it, but that's how I'm picturing the whole thing. So the priests are standing right there in the middle of the Jordan, and people is encouraged to cross over, right? Over, because that's the only way that they are able to do so, over dry land. So what is the significance of this event? Why this event is recorded in the Bible? What do you think? What is the main reason? It is a follow-up of God's promises, right? He said, this is your land. I will give it to you. And God is confirming now when the people, I will fight your battles and I will help you through all the difficult times, right? And I want to ask you another thing. Once they start going over, Joshua called 12 guys from the tribes of Israel and asked him to do something kind of like a little weird, right? What he's asking them to do? Get a stone, right? And if let's say that they select you to carry a stone, what kind of size of stone you will carry? That was me. That was thinking about that. Yeah, if they give me like a little stone, like, oh, that's my rock. Let me put it in my pocket. Let's move on, right? That's not what these guys are doing, right? I want you to think about this for a moment. Are these guys selected by chance? What do you think? Or is Joshua putting some thinking about these 12 people? Yeah. I want to ask Claudette. You are selected to carry a stone for us. Like, I know you can, but I don't know how difficult. I know it will be like more difficult for her. Very good. So that's the other thing that I was thinking. It had to be a strong people, quite strong, because they selected big rocks. And it's not like they crossed the river and let's make the monument right here, right? Now they keep walking, perhaps like a mile and a half more after they cross the river. It's near Jericho. It's not exactly besides Jericho. It's near Jericho. And they made this monument in there. And so I was thinking about that and kind of like bringing memories of what Jesus was doing when he was establishing the church, right? He is kind of like choosing his 12 disciples very carefully because he needs special people. So it's a special call for a special job, right? And Joshua is thinking, I need 12 strong guys, and they have to be quite strong because not only they need to lift this rock, they need to carry over whatever we are camping tonight. And what was the main purpose of that? To be a kind of like a memorial, like a monument, right? With the intention of what? Why people build monuments or memorials or parks? What are the main reason for that? Correct. To honor, to bring like an event to memory. And why we need to remember things? I mean, we have an amazing memory. We don't forget things, right? Have you noticed that in the Bible, constantly God is using the word remember in certain specific key elements of the Bible that we need to really remember because we had a tendency to forget, right? Which brings to my memory the story of the husband and the wife asking him to bring some groceries from after, you know, coming from work, and the guy said, I will forget. And then she tied up a red ribbon in his finger so he can remember. And then the guy go to work, and then he forgot what is the reason for the red ribbon in his finger. So it's kind of like, we are having problems with our memory. We had a tendency to forget. Now, the Bible will tell you that many centuries after they built this monument, people get the wrong idea. They thought that was a place for worship. And so now they start worshiping the rocks. And the place where they put the rocks was called Gilgal. right? Which in Hebrew means circle. It's a circle of rocks, right? So I want you to think about today, for instance, places where you find a circle of rocks. Well, one of the most famous places right now is in England, right? And what people go do there every winter and every summer? They go there to worship because they feel a some connection with the divinity, the divine there. It's kind of like a pagan, kind of like tradition. So something similar started happening to Israel. Instead of remembering God and how he amazingly helped them to go over, they start somehow transitioning from God to rocks. And you say, well, that's the dumbest idea ever, right? Well, it can happen over time. Ignorance, lack of transmission, lack of education, people forget. What was the duty of the parents toward the children? If they come and ask you, what is the big deal when these rocks, you need to tell them the story, right? God helped us to cross over. God fight for us. God deliver us. And after we cross over in this location, we had our first Passover in many, many years. And after that Passover, during that Passover, I should say, we had the circumcision of all the males of Israel, meaning we are reconnecting with the covenant because we had forgotten about the whole story and the whole reason to be in here in the first place. And the majority of the old people that come out of Egypt, what were they found? What happened to the old members of the church? They died at the desert. Sadly, they never entered the promised land. Some of them they did, but not all of them. So a trip that should last less than a year, it took 40 years for them. It was a painful and difficult experience. When you taste the flavor of being defeated. You remember the memory test that we used at the beginning of the sermon? What was the test? Anyone remember? It's found in Psalms 119:105. That was one of my first tests that I memorized as a growing up as a kid. Right? Your work is a lamp to my feet, right? It's a lighter to my path. So I was reflecting on that during the last days of the previous year. And it's very meaningful in how the Bible can be a lamp to you in your life. But let me ask you this. Do you think it's possible for a person to wander from the path? Do you think it's difficult if you can lose the trail and move away in the wrong direction? Do you think that can happen to you? I'm not saying that it will happen. I'm saying that it could happen. How that can happen? If you are in a place that you cannot see and it's dark and you are trying to move forward without any light guiding you, you can get lost. Some people get lost and they don't know that they are lost. They are wandering around that they don't even know that they're lost. Other people, they kind of like had the sense that, yeah, I'm moving away from the right path. I'm staying away from God, right? So I was reflecting on that and how this test has had a lot of beauty and is meaningful to me. You know, the Bible in reality is a guide to lead you toward God. But if you don't use it, then it's easy to lose the right way and start meandering around and getting lost. And so the people of Israel, they were remembering all the pain and all the suffering that they go through for 40 years, and now they are just crossing over this physical barrier that God now is opening for them into a new land, right? It's a new year, it's a new possibilities, it's new promises, new opportunities. Let me ask you this. After they crossed over, everything was easy for them, right? Well, God promised that he will fight their battles, right? God promised that he will be with them. And that's another lesson that I want you to remember, that being a Christian doesn't mean that you are always being in a victorious path to heaven, right? Being a Christian means that you can lose your way. It means that you can fall to the ground and get hurt. It means that you will get some scars along the way. That's part of the battle, right? Is anyone who had win all the battles? And don't call me Jesus because, okay, that's true about other than Jesus. But speaking about human beings, is anyone who always win? And then you realize, no. You will accomplish some victories, but along these victories, you will discover defeat. And I will tell you today that being defeated in occasion had a more profound sense of teaching for us than the victories. When you are defeated, then you realize how incompetent, how limited is our abilities are, right? How needy we are of somebody to help us. When you get defeated, then you realize this is beyond me. I'm trying with all my strength, but it's beyond me. I can't. So what do you do and when you are confronted with that feeling? What is your answer to that? Pray is a good answer. What else you do? Cry, yeah. We cry a lot of times at the cross when we kneel and we confess our sins.
I remember when God done for me in the past.
I think you are correct, Leona. I think that the whole idea when the memorial was to help them remember what God had done in the past, what God had done right now in the present, and what God will do in the future. But I want you to reflect in the fact that even when God's presence, they will have troubles. They will have battles. The 12 rocks were not picked by angels. Do you think that God will be possible for God to, let me stop the river. Let me lift 12 little rocks and place it in there. So if God can do that, so why he need 12 guys? Why? Why he's using people? What is easier to do, moving 12 rocks or stopping the whole river? That's correct. You have a role to play in the plan for the church and salvation. Maybe it's a small role that you can play, but it's significant in God's eyes, right? I want you to remember during this year, you will be confronted with challenges, with battles, but you have something to say about that. You can make your choices, right? It's always about choices. Even when we get confronted until very difficult situations, we have always a choice, right? Maybe something related to work. Maybe it's something very personal. It's maybe something to deal with business. I don't know. Everyone had different challenges, but I'm pretty sure you all had challenges during this year. So do we need to remember that God's presence is with us during this year? Of course we need to remember that. Is God faithful? Yes. Is God good? Yes. Are you convinced that God is good? But it is important to remember that when you are going through the midst of the pain and suffering and sorrow, when you feel lonely and nobody cares and nobody is trying and you feel like nobody is there to help you. Right? Then you look around and where is the family? Where are my friends? Nobody called me. Nobody cares for me. Right? Then you remember, well, still God is with me. And I'm struggling and I'm going through this difficult time, but I know he will help me to accomplish this. So I was reflecting in all of this, and I was reflecting in the fact that God told them, please build the monument. And every single time that one of your kids come back, you tell them the story again and again and again. Right? You notice that in chapter 4, God gave this instruction at least twice. One here in verse number 8, and the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded and took the 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan. And if you move to the end of the chapter, the last two verses, then should let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. That's a very significant event. And let me speak with a great deal of authority in this. Since I happen to be a foreigner, fellow Christian here, and also a person who comes from another place. There's many ways to come to the U.S. Many, many ways. But none of these ways are easy. They're very challenging. In fact, some people are so desperate to come to this country that in the South, that when they are trying to go to the other side, they go across the river. They're swimming, right? And some fellow Americans, in a very despected and pejorative way, how they call them? They called in, oh, here are coming the wetbacks. Have you heard the term? The wetbacks. The guys who don't belong with us because they're different. Well, the people of Israel, they were not wetbacks. They were dry. You're like, drybacks. Yeah. Da, da, da. You are walking through. Here is other people. This is not your land. But according to God, it will be yours. So these 12 stones is to remind you that, yes, I'm still in control. And you will be receiving this inheritance. And this you will be your land. And even when you move away from me one day and you look at these stones, you will remember that your God is fighting for you. Do you know what is the biggest trouble for Seventh-day Adventist people today? What, you want me to tell you what is the biggest trouble that I see? Is our sense of self-confidence. Our great idea that because we know something about the prophecies, we are better than anyone else. And that can be our doom too. It's a blessing to know a lot about the prophecies, but it's a great responsibility too, right? So when the people and the children come to you, according to the Bible, you should tell them, Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord, sorry, let me say this clearly. Because they crossed over the Lord your God did to see the Red Sea, which he dried before us. He had crossed over that all the people on earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. I was reading another translation there, and it was saying, instead of fearing God, that you worship God forever. And I think like I like that translation a little better. Because the fear doesn't always convey the idea of worship. But what the writer is trying to say, it's two reasons for basically for this monument, right? Number one, everybody in the whole world should know about God, right? It is important. It's not only for you, it's for everybody. That is important for us to remember that. Number two, once you start telling others and they discover about this God, you should worship the true God. It is a sense that this is the real God and we should honor him no matter what. My dear brethren and church, I discovered that it doesn't matter how many years do you walk in the Christian way. I discovered that along the way are many pearls and many dangerous things. And that we need to be vigilant. We need to be faithful. We need to be optimistic. It's a very important word, being optimistic. And I know we talk about this at church in many occasions. Try to see the bright things, right? And I'm speaking from my own experience. I tend to be very negative. I am the guy with the extinguisher. You remember at the beginning? The church on fire. I am the guy, kind of like. But we should be very careful about that because our experience can affect other people, right? So in that sense, I will like you, this is my invitation to you, do your own reflection, do your own thinking and your own praying, that maybe, perhaps this year, when God's help, we made some changes in our life, that they are for the better. That you decide to honor God with all your might, with all your energy, with all the life that you have left. I don't know how many more years. I don't know. I really don't care about that because we don't know. But whatever it is, that we will do our best. That perhaps this year we will pass the page and move over to a better future for the church in Aiken. Do you think that I'm crazy when I dream that this place one day can be full? Like I'm over-optimistic and I'm expecting too much. That's a miracle. It will never happen, Pastor. You know, like, you go overboard when this church. You're like, no, I continue believing that this God is so powerful that he can bring the right people to this place. That we need to be just willing to do our part, right? Whatever it is, I don't know. I can't explain for every person how big is your part, but everybody have a role to play in this. May God bless you greatly and your families too. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, today we are asking you for a special blessing for our congregation, for every person, for every family here. Lord, give us your company, give us your wisdom. and continue allowing the Holy Spirit to make an influence in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed Sabbath to all of you. God bless you.